This message was recorded at Vision Baptist Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. It is our prayer that you'll be blessed by the preaching of God's Word.
All right, take your Bibles, go with me to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Last month's title was something like, "Are You Just Too Stupid?" This week, this month, we're going a little nicer. Your character determines how much you learn. Your character determines how much you learn. And so we're going to go through this chapter, and I'm going to get your participation, questions, comments, discussion. You just have to talk loud enough everybody can hear you if you can do that. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 13. I'm just going to read verse 1, and then we will work our way through the chapter and see what it is. Now, I remind you, Proverbs is a book of proverbs, not promises. Now, they are generally applicable, but when you read a proverb, Daddy sat down and said, "Son, here's a proverb." Now, God put these proverbs in here, so a great deal of lessons you can learn. So if you're smart, you will listen and you will apply. You will listen and you will apply. So read with me, if you would, Proverbs 13:1. "A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner hears not rebuke." A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner does not hear rebuke. And so I want to go through the chapter, and I've joined them together the best way I can. They don't always join together the way I want. This is not like preaching numbers, where you get a passage and it's all about one subject. You stop, you find out where it starts, find out where it stops, and you work it. Or the book of Matthew, where you find where it starts and where you stop. So Proverbs is like a string of pearls, you know, and each pearl is not connected to the next pearl. So you got a whole bunch of pearls, but they don't necessarily run together. So I got a job of stringing them together so we can get something out of them. If my wife don't help get 10 women quiet, we're going to have a fight tonight when we get home, amen? She's the preacher tonight. She preached me her message last night, and I got under conviction. Proverbs 13:1, first one, "A wise son hears, and a scorner, a fool, doesn't." Go with me, if you would, to verse 10. I've gone through, and I've tried to pick out the ones that talk about, do you listen? I've gone through and tried to pick out the ones that talk about, do you listen? So read with me. Somebody read out loud verse 10. It's got a good, strong, manly voice, since you're in a man's meeting. Who can read verse 10? Okay, y'all just read. Don't wait on me. Just holler if one of you starts reading. All right, look at verse 10. Only by what?
Pride.
Now, we're talking about listening to your dad. Don't forget, it starts off a wise son. Picture in your mind Solomon, the wise king, sitting down with his son. And he said, "Now listen to me, buddy. We got a dad over here with his kid laying his head on his leg right now. We got Jeff in here with us. He's surely got one or two or three. I mean, he's got 15 kids, so he's probably got, there's one. That's all you got in here, brother Jeff. You ain't got but one here. What are you doing? They're spread all over the place." All right, now, so just picture Jeff sitting down with 9 kids, and he sets them down, and he says, "All right, I'm going to talk to you tonight. I'm going to give you a bunch of proverbs. Let's just get something straight before I start. If you're wise, you're going to listen to me. If you're stupid, you ain't going to listen." Just asking. Okay. Hey, what are you doing? Your daddy's here too, Luke, so you ain't getting out of nothing. All right. So what stops us from listening? Only by pride comes contention. When does the kid get himself all upset and get aggravated and don't want to listen? What causes me not to listen? What causes us to want to have a fight? Pride. Pride causes us to want to fight. It helps us. It keeps us from listening, and it keeps us from learning. But look what it says, "But with the well-advised is wisdom." So what's it mean to be well-advised? Help me out there, even biblically. Anybody got an idea? I got plenty of time. I'll preach to you all night, but I'm trying to do a little bit different for you. Anybody else got an idea? Well-advised. Learned, been instructed, okay. Well, give me a Bible verse out of the Proverbs that you can think of in your own words. You don't have to get it right. You don't have to look it up. You don't have to where it goes about being well-advised. Safety and a multitude of counselors. Ask a bunch of people. Don't ask just one guy. Ask more than one guy to find out what's going on. If you don't, you might make a mistake. The know-it-all causes problems. That's what that verse is about. Being the know-it-all that causes problems. My son, Chris, I was over at his house a few weeks ago. I took him to the hospital or to the doctor yesterday. But I was over there, I don't know, a month or so ago, and Jacob came down and was talking to me. And Jacob was telling me stuff. And Chris said, "Hey, Google, that's enough." And I said, "Hey, Google?" He said, "The kid knows everything." I said, "Didn't fall far from the tree, amen." But anyway, he might hear that. But anyway, Google, you know, it's because he knows. So don't be a know-it-all. The wise guy listens and considers what others are saying. So find and speak to as many wise people as you can in a multitude of counsel. In a multitude of counsel, you find wisdom. Now just let me say this. You do know that when you're making a decision, who you talk to is going to affect a lot about what's going to happen. I don't really want you to come talk to me. This is not an advertisement for you to ask my opinion. Go ask the men in this church. Deacons are smart. Brother Frick is extremely smart. Need to go talk to him. Jeff, go talk to him. Steve, I'm not trying to get anybody to come talk to me, but if I were you, I'd ask more than one person. If I were you, I'd ask more than one person. When somebody asks me for my advice, I usually say this and a dollar might not even get you a cup of coffee. I'm not sure. It's because I don't consider my advice worth very much, but I would say to you, you ought to try to get advice from people to learn. All right, go with me to verse 13. Who would read verse 13 good, strong, and loud?
Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded.
I thought that kind of went with listening. Now, I don't know if you see that. I just put it there. The word, if you listen to the word, if you despise the word, what's it mean to despise the word?
Rebel.
Who said that? Rebel. Yes, sir. I think that's exactly right. All right, another word. Do what? Hate, another word. You know, what? Forget? I think that, I can't hear you. Reject? I think reject's good. I think it doesn't have to be so much a blatant, it doesn't have to be so blatant. It doesn't mean that you got to throw it down or stomp it or kick it. It just means you're like, it's not that important. It'd be taking it lightly. The Bible's not that important. I don't really need to know what the Bible says. Don't bring me another one of them Bible verses. I don't need another Bible verse. That would be kind of despising the Word of God. If you will not listen to it, you will be destroyed. Now, that's what the daddy said to the boy. The guy who despises, won't listen, rejects, rebels, I can't remember what other words you said, he will be destroyed. Now, let's think about that a second. How is that possible? Is it true that if you don't listen to the Bible, you'll be destroyed? Is that a proverb, or is there a real big truth in there that I need to know? What's the big truth? You're going to go to hell. You reject the Bible, you're going to reject Jesus. You reject Jesus, you're going to go to hell. You can say, well, that's your opinion. No, it's really not about what's my opinion. It's what does the Word of God say? And that's why here we study the Bible. You got it open in front of you. You can look at it. And you can say, yeah, that's what the Bible says, because I want to know what the Bible says. Too many churches are all about somebody's opinion. They're almost like Oprah or Dr. Phil. And you and I got to come in here and say, wait a minute, I need to know what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says. Don't try to show off how smart you are, Austin. Read the Bible to us and show us the Bible. If you despise the Bible, you'll be destroyed. Suppose we're talking about a Christian. Would that have any truth in it as a Christian? How would it have truth? Come on, help me. How would it have truth as a Christian? I'm talking to my son. Luke's getting a talking to from Chuck over here. And Luke's already made a profession of faith. Could his daddy say to him, son, if you don't listen to the Bible, if you despise the Word of God, you're going to get destroyed. And he's not going to go to hell because he's saved, but could it apply? Oh, I definitely think it could. Boy, hey, a divorce will about destroy a guy. Financial heartaches will about destroy a guy. Sexually transmitted diseases might destroy a guy. And drunkenness could destroy a guy. I mean, just so many things. So I need to listen to the Bible. I need to know what God says. I need to listen to the Bible. It has great insight on how to live now, by the way. I think sometimes we say, well, I ain't going to get destroyed because I'm saved and I'm going to go to heaven. But, hey, the book of Proverbs in a lot of ways was written to a guy who's saved. And he said, don't be an idiot. Don't be an idiot. Listen to these truths I'm giving you so you don't get destroyed. So the book of Proverbs and the Bible is going to tell me how to be a man. It's going to tell me how to be a man. We live in a world. You know, when I was a kid and I lived on a farm, you pretty well knew when a guy turned into a man. Because, you know, like, you didn't stay at the house anymore. You wasn't behind mama's apron strings. They sent you out there and made you slop the hogs, and they made you hold down a bull until he got to be a steer. That was a nice, tender way of saying that. And they sent you out to do all this work, and you knew somehow, you know, I'm no longer treated like a kid anymore. No longer. Now we all live inside. My daddy always made fun of men like me. By the way, most of y'all are like me. Because my daddy, his hands, I mean, he could grab something hot and hold it. It's all right. He had about 2 inches of callus on his hands, like a camel's foot or something, you know. I mean, you could cut him and he didn't bleed. I mean, it's just too much callus there. Me, I got soft hands. I was in Cobb County the other day, and I had something on my hand, so I put some lotion on. I shook John Vorce's hand, and he goes, "Oh, Pastor, you trying to tell me something? Why you got lotion on your hands?" I said, "I'm an old man. I got dried up skin here. We got a problem." But anyway, how to be a man, how to pay your bills, how to work. I need to know those things. The Bible's full of it. The Bible's got the answer not to heaven. The Bible's got the answer to 2014. I really believe that. It determines where you spend eternity. By the way, as parents, if I could say something and really wake everybody up, it's so easy to share all your experience and to share all your wisdom and to share all your preparation and never be a Bible sharer at home. You could easily say, "Well, you know, I've lived long, and I once was young, but I am now old. I once was a kid, but now I'm a dad. Let me tell you a bunch of stuff I learned." And you turn into Dr. Phil. They don't need Dr. Phil. And the man of God ought to be, to your kids, the biggest man of God around, ought to be their daddy. He ought to be the man of God. You ought to teach him. I won't get this story right. If you tell it right, I'll let you tell it, John, if you will. But if you don't want to tell it, I won't tell it. Would you tell them the story about how the kids got involved in the Bible study correspondence school? Okay, I'm going to tell it. If I get it wrong, y'all go to John. Something was going on, and John somehow got some information to his kids, and he told them, and Andrew's here, he can tell if it's true or not. He told them, or this letter came and offered them, what, they got money for lessons? They enrolled in the Summertime Bible Institute or something. They had no idea Daddy was doing it. And he put together all this Bible study. In fact, as y'all were going on vacation and they had graduated, and they thought they graduated and the mail hadn't run. And they were like, "We can't leave, man. We passed this test." But they all summer long, or all whatever time, they took these classes that Daddy prepared. And then they got their thing. And I don't know, how did they find out right then or was it later? They're the only kids in the Summertime Bible Institute. That's great, though, isn't it? Isn't that great? Isn't that a way a daddy would say, "Hey, you sit down. I'm not teaching you philosophy. I'm not teaching you sociology or psychology, but I'm going to teach you the Word of God." That'll make a person grow up to learn to live for Jesus, because it's always the Word of God that does it. It wasn't John Pearson. Let's just remember that. It's never Austin Gardner. It's never any other preacher. It is the Word of God. It is. The Bible says about itself that it's quick, which means alive. It's alive and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Teach it. Show it to your children. Go to verse 14. That's too much on that time-wise. Verse 14. We need to know where to get instruction. I'm talking about listening here. Look at verse 14. Who will read me verse 14? Now, what in the world? What's going on in that verse? That's a proverb. What's going on in that verse? Somebody tell me. Anybody want to say something? He's using an illustration. Have any of you ever drank out of a spring? You know, a spring, water comes out of ground, you know? So there's this fountain. There's this place that's producing water. And he says, hey, the law of the wise is like a fountain of life. You go to wise people. Now, what are wise people? Whenever you use the term in the book of Proverbs, wise, go to the wise. Who are the wise? What is the beginning of wisdom? Fear of the Lord. They know God. And what's it mean to fear God here? It doesn't, man, I love this part of the building. We need to move the pulpit over here. I feel that air conditioner. Just believe the Lord to have me right here. This was like the best seat in the building, whoever sits here. Lord of God. So that was wisdom. The wise guy in the Bible is the guy who knows there's a God. The wise guy in the Bible is the guy who knows the Bible is true. The wise guy in the Bible is the guy who says, I can teach you what the Bible teaches. I've learned the Bible. And if you go to him, you will depart from the snares of death. What are snares of death? You know, Satan is laying traps all around us every day to destroy us. The first and biggest trap he's going to always lay will be to go to hell. He's going to do every kind. He's going to lay every kind of trap. That pride we talked about, he's going to lay a pride trap. He's going to do something. Hey, you're too good to know this. You're too smart to fall into that. You don't have to believe the Bible. The Bible's for dumb people that don't know what they're going to do, like Ed told us a while ago. And he's going to play that game in your head. Don't ever fall for that. That's a snare. By the way, he uses money. He uses money as a snare. And money will draw you away from God and take you into a trap. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He uses women. Proverbs is full of that. He uses women to destroy men's lives. How do I know where the traps are?
Bible tells
us. I don't know. I don't know who heard me say this, so I'll repeat it. But last week I was stayed in the home of a 69-year-old bow hunter. I mean, this guy is Daniel Boone, and he travels to Colorado every year. There are animals. We were in the garage, and he told me. He said, "Women have no authority in this room." He had turned the garage into the man cave. There were deer heads and elk heads all around the room. And when his wife came out, she came walking out, stepped down the steps, and he said, she knows her authority ended right there at that door. This is my room. This is my room. And they were laughing and cutting up about it. And he is a supposedly a quite well-known hunter amongst everybody in his neighborhood. Everybody knows. This guy knows. And when he was a young guy, he used to go around when he was in his teens, he'd walk around the community with his bow and arrow. And he would go try to hunt. He didn't know how to hunt. And this guy, who was an older guy in the community, saw him and said, hey, come here. And he said, hey, man, my name's so-and-so. He said, I know who you are. He said, would you like to go hunting with me? He said, that old man never tried to teach me how to hunt, but he taught me how to hunt. He said, I know all about how to hunt. He said, he'd take me out there and he'd tell, don't go here. Don't do this. I was with, Joe? Where is Joe? I saw Joe a while ago. Joe told me, don't step right there or something. We were out looking on Bear Mountain, and Joe said, don't step right there. And I'm like, excuse me, because you don't step right that spot. So here's the deal. There's traps in life. Guess who's going to help you? Get to the wise guy. Get to the guy who knows what the book says. Get to the guy that walks with God. Get to the guy that fears God. Get to the guy that's got some experience. Go to the wise, those that love God and respect him and know his word. That's where you get instruction, and that determines how your life goes. Get your children in church where they can hear and learn the word of God. Be careful to lead your family so they will know the word of God. Verse 15. Somebody want to read that real quick? If you learn and understand, doors open for you. It says good understanding gives favor. That's open doors. That's people appreciating you, people believing you. So he said to his son, buddy, if you'll learn what I'm about to teach you, it's going to open doors for you. If you'll learn what I'm going to teach you, it's going to give you favor with the right people at the right time. It'll open doors for work. It'll open doors for everything. It gives you favor. Going against the Lord's will only makes your way hard. The way of a transgressor. What's a transgressor? That's a big Bible word. What's transgressor mean? Sinner. It comes from the idea of transgress. Transgress is to break. It is to violate. It is to break the rules. You're a transgressor when you have a speed limit of 70 and you're running 90, you're definitely transgressing. 78, you're all right. I'm teasing. You're still transgressing. Just might not get caught. But anyway, transgression is I know what God wants. The law is clear. I'm just going to do what I want. That's transgressing. So the fool, excuse me, where am I? So the wise man, where you can get God's will, and so because if you disobey God's will, it only makes your way hard. People will soon decide if you have good sense, by the way. Good understanding giveth favor. Good understanding. Did you know what, I think what that verse is saying is if you listen to dad when you go out to work with the guys, when you go to the job, maybe your dad told you, keep your mouth shut. You're a kid. You're just learning. I don't know why you're going to work. Keep your mouth shut. Let the men talk. And you go to work and everybody's like, that kid's pretty smart. He knows when to keep his mouth shut. Daddy told him. They're liking him now because he kept his mouth shut. They're liking him because he's learned and he's gained favor. Everybody finds out who we are. We get around them and real quickly find out this guy does understand, this guy is smart, or this guy isn't smart, this guy's an idiot, and I can tell it. Good understanding opens doors, it gives you favor. Verse 16, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. The wise man, the understanding man, a thoughtful man makes wise decisions. The fool soon shows who he is. It doesn't take long for this idiot to let everybody know he's an idiot. Whether or not you listen and learn will soon be obvious to all. And, you know, this is so true. I've watched it. I've had people in business come to me and they ask me a business question. And I say, I don't know much about that, but we got some business people here who know something about business. They go talk to some of the business people and they come back and that guy don't know what he's talking about and that guy don't know what he's talking about. And then he tells me, I don't know what I'm talking about. And it's not very long before I'm going, yeah, well, nobody knows what you're talking about. You're the only one that does. And that's exactly what the verse is talking about. Look at verse 18. Your attitude towards instruction determines how much determines much about your success or failure. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. You can lose it all if you will not be taught. Look at the verse. Poverty and shame. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction. So he's telling his son, see, that's not really about, he's just telling his boy, buddy, you need to listen because I'm trying to help you be successful. By the way, just because you're the son of the king don't mean you get to be the next king. David had a lot of sons and a whole lot of wives. You don't know if you're going to get to be one. So listen up, son. Listen up. You can have success and honor if you simply get instruction. He that regardeth reproof shall be honored. And can I just mention, what's word reproof mean? See, the verse said, he that regardeth reproof, correction. And that's a hard word. We don't like that word. It kind of goes against us, doesn't it? And we live in a day and time, the younger you are especially, it's like y'all, all of you got to win when you play any sports when you was a kid, You just kind of grow up. You've been brought up on this. Nobody ever tells me I'm wrong stuff. That's going to get you in big trouble. The guy that honors reproof, is that what it says? He that regardeth reproof shall be honored. What's regardeth? Pays attention to. I hold you in high regard. What's that mean? I said, I hold you in high regard. When I say that, what? Exactly. So that word regard, it is. Pays attention. But it's also the idea, hey, that old guy told me something I ought not be doing. He's telling me something I ought to really pay attention. I ought to have a lot of respect for that. I ought to learn from that old that guy that learned how to go hunting and has kind of got his own fame now and all them animals and told me all kind of the wildest stories I ever heard. I told him, I said, man, you're Daniel Boone. And he told me, he said, I wouldn't even be at this missions conference if it wasn't at my shoulders. Messed up, I can't pull my bow back. He said, believe me, I'd be in Colorado right now. Like, praise God for your messed up shoulder, you backsliding heathen. But I didn't say that. Okay. Number 20. Somebody read verse 20 out loud. Because this is a mean verse.
He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed.
Talk about listening. That's why I put all these under listening. What's that verse about? Your opinion, what's that verse about? Woo! I got that written right here. You are who you hang with. We used to say water seeks its own level. Birds of a feather flock together. Who said something? Who was saying something? Go ahead.
I think they were agreeing with you.
Okay. Anything else? You see what it says? If you are with those who refuse to listen, you'll probably get that same attitude. I taught school. I had a Christian school. I taught in a Christian school before I started the church I pastored when I started the first one. Then we started a Christian school. Then I started a Christian school in Peru, and I was a math teacher in Peru because I couldn't find anybody. And so every day I went and taught math, which I hated, but as soon as I could find somebody, I got out of there. But anyway, you know, you can always tell who's the smart kids. It takes you about a week to figure out who the dingbats are. They all sit together. I mean, all you got to do is say, that's the biggest dummy in the room right there, and look at all them guys around him. That's be his group. That's the smartest guy in the room. That's his group. I don't know where you guys go. That's about how it goes. So who you run around with says a whole lot about you. By the way, can I just, here's your wild one, so just to be mean. You know, I wouldn't hang around with guys that acted like marriage wasn't important. If I was a married man and he was around somebody and said, well, you know, getting a divorce ain't that big a deal, I just wouldn't hang with him because I need to keep my marriage. In other words, I don't hang around with people that don't say stuff that I need to hear. I don't need to be around a guy. I had some people in the second church I worked in, and they ran around with some people that were just doing some God-awful, wicked stuff. And they told me, we won't fall in it, but they did. I told them, I said, you need to get away from them. They didn't. And you wouldn't believe what they were doing. I don't even want to say, we've got young kids in here. It's that bad. You become like those you associate with. I put this in here. This is just mine. Whiners love and produce more whiners. And winners love and produce more winners. Your chosen environment has more to do with who you are and what you become than you would ever want to believe. You know, whoever your parents were and wherever you came from and whatever happened to you before is not near as important as where you're staying right now. Like you say, well, I come from a really bad background. So what? A lot of people do. But you choose where you're going to be. You get around the right kind of people, hang where you're supposed to hang, and that'll help you. He that walks with wise men shall be wise. He that walks with wise men shall be wise. That's a Bible proverb. I said proverb, but it's so much truth there. You become like who you associate with. If you will learn, get around the smartest people around, get around the people who love God the most, you'll be shocked at how it helps you get closer to God. If I was you, I'd find out who the most godly people were in the church. I'd get around them. Verse 24. Somebody can read this one so I can really make you mad at me. Let's go. When you do not discipline your child to listen to you, then you are doing him a disservice. I'm not going to talk to you about spankings or any of that, but can I just say something real quickly? In the society you live in, it's kind of like goo goo gaga, everything's okay with you, little kid. And a kid needs structure. And a kid needs to be told what's right and wrong. And a kid needs to know there's consequences. I had a kid that stayed with me. His name was Glenn. And he lived with me for a while. And Glenn, Glenn Scheipel was his name. I don't think it's you. But Glenn, what happened was Glenn was in our Christian school, the one I was working for, and he was in trouble. And the school was ready to kick him out because he was so stupid he couldn't get any good grades. And so we were sitting in there, and I told the lady in charge, who had a lady principal, I said, this kid could do anything if he wanted to. He doesn't have structure. It's his mama's fault. And she said, oh, so you think you can handle it? I said, you give him to me for 2 weeks, that kid will make good grades. And she said, no way. So the mother came in and he said, if you let him live in 2 weeks, he'll make good grades. 2 weeks later, he was making good grades and she didn't want him back. And so he lived with me for a long time. So one day when I took away a bunch of his privileges and wouldn't let him leave, and he was old enough, he had his own car, and I took his keys away. I said, give me your keys. You ain't going nowhere. And I said, I know you don't like me. He said, look, the only reason I'm in your stupid school is because nobody's ever told me no till I met you. And he said, I've already been arrested by the cops. He said, this is one thing I've learned. This is what a kid told me. He's like 16. He said, if your mama won't say no and your daddy won't say no and the school won't say no, sooner or later the cops will. So you either discipline your kids or somebody else will. Nobody just gets away with it. Not forever. If you do not discipline them, you're telling them you don't love them. You can say what you want to say, But the wise man, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote down a proverb. And by the way, kids, figure it out. Discipline and guidelines show love. By the way, isn't it amazing they like the coach? And the coach is a brute, man. You've ever been around these coaches? He's like, stand up, sit down, move, do that, rah, rah, rah. And the mama's over, oh, don't take that, no, I got my little boy. And the kids love the coach. The coach has got some rules. You better get started while they're young. If you care, then you do what is best for them, not necessarily what makes them happy. And don't listen to popular, politically correct teaching. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. And they will change what they say about all this again. They never can make up their mind, but the Bible's still going to be the Bible. Just stick with the book. You're a wise man. You're a wise man, and you respect the book. That's all we need here. Number two. So that was about listening. That's ones I picked out about listening. The importance of words and the way you speak. The importance of words and the way you speak. Sorry, I'm just going to start yelling quickly. I got 8 minutes to finish five pages. We done five. We got five more to go. You ready? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Use your words correctly. They can give you good food to eat. Verse 2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. You can desire helpful conversation and succeed. You know what? If you decide, I want to get around people where we talk right, talk about something that makes sense, that's going to help you succeed. Or you can fuss, fight, and complain all through life, and you're going to eat violence. These bad attitudes spread. Get control of your mouth, because how you use your mouth brings success or destruction. That's what Daddy told his boy, verse 3. He that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Better learn when to keep your mouth shut. When I was a boy, they used to say, if you got enough back end to back up what your mouth is saying right now, boy, except they use other words. But you start talking, somebody just look at you and say, I'm fixing to whip your because your mouth is saying stuff. You're about to overload your wheelbarrow. That's what they used to say on the farm. Keep your mouth shut. Get control of your mouth. If you are careful how you talk, you'll get rewarded. You can ruin things if you don't control your mouth. Verse 5, living out who you are will cause you to tell the truth. A righteous man, verse 5, hates lying. But a wicked man is loathsome. It means hateful. We don't like him. We don't like him. And he comes to shame. While God's people hate lies, the wicked seem to love living in them. The lies will embarrass him sooner or later. You get caught. They used to say back in the old day, oh, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. And they tell so many lies they can't get out of it. Verse 17, how you talk determines much of your success. A wicked messenger falls into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. If you talk stupid, you'll act stupid. If you deal in truth and talk truth, then you'll have success. You can help others be a success if you learn truth and share it. I would talk a whole lot more about that, but I got 6 minutes. So go with me, if you would, to verse 4. Next point. First point was listen. Second point was talking. Third point is working. Start working, quit dreaming. Start working, quit dreaming. Verse says in verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Doesn't matter how much you want, but how much you work. And that's what he was telling his boy, because everybody wants big stuff. Don't we all want big stuff? We want money. We want stuff. But you can want all day long. Go to work. Get up and go to work. A friend that's over in the church where Chris is working right now, they've got a guy in the church that doesn't have a job. And so this friend of mine, I taught him in school, actually. He's one of those guys in that school, a very smart guy. But he told this guy came to the church and said, I can't get a job. And he said, you're going to work 40 hours every week. He said, so if you don't have a job, I want you to go out and pick up garbage on the street. He said, because people hire people that work, but people don't hire people that won't work. And that isn't won't like W-O-N-T. It's like if you want to work, they'll hire you. But if you will not work, they won't hire you. And he told him, so pick it. So this past week he was tired and he didn't feel like working. And John, my buddy John, said, that's why you're not getting a job. You're too tired to make it 2 weeks of working. That's what the verse is saying, really. The soul of the sluggard desires. The lazy bum wants stuff, but he don't get nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Diligence, energetic. Get at it, and you'll have something to show for your life. But be careful about get-rich-quick schemes. Verse 11. Sluggards and bums like get-rich-quick schemes. By the way, you know the lottery is a get-rich-quick scheme, which is a it's a get-poor-slow scheme. No, they only charge you a dollar or two, but they know you're a blooming idiot. This verse is about you. Give me $3, you could probably win $10 billion. And they'd $3 you to death. And when you're starving, they're going to say, you're the idiot that spent it on the lottery ticket. You're desiring, but you don't have anything. Verse 11 says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Easy come, easy go. Lottery wealth rarely makes wealth. They can prove that on the internet. You just go study it. People that win the lottery usually end up broke. People that win the lottery, they live high real short time. Working hard and smart will cause you to increase in financial wealth. That's what the verse said. Verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. I'd like to, if you were taking notes, you'd write this down. Man, be ready when the opportunity comes. Be ready when the opportunity comes. Disappointments can break your heart, but if you keep dreaming and working, the desire comes, you'll be happy, great joy, to be success. Work at doing what you dream of and desire. Verse 19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it's an abomination to fools and apart from evil. Now, on the one hand, you're not supposed to dream and desire. On the one hand, you're not supposed to dream and desire, but that's on the hand where you're like, if they would pay me $100 an hour, I'd work. I mean, I'm dreaming about a job pays me $100 an hour. Well, you're an idiot. So just quit dreaming. You're going to be hungry. But there's nothing wrong with dreaming about doing something with your life and coming up with something hard that you're going to accomplish. And so he says the desire accomplished. So you dream about it, but you work your ear off. You ought to have a dream, but it's not a pie-in-the-sky dream. It's something realistic. So it means you go to school if you have to. You go to college if you have to. You clean streets if you have to. You work your way up the ladder if you have to. A friend of mine in Dalton, Stephen knows extremely well, delivered. I was with Wayne Cofield when we visited him, and he got started coming to Whitfield Baptist Church. And he delivered pizza to my house, and I gave him extra good tips. Now he owns 3, 4, 5 pizza stores. He started at the bottom, worked his way up, and succeeded. He had a desire. He had a dream accomplished. That's sweet to the soul. Saw his picture today at the Hoover Dam. I don't know what he's doing out there. Make sure you get the right desires. The fool wants evil and will not turn from it. It says the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but the abomination to fools to depart evil. Skipping. I'm going to give you, we'll just skip here. Man, it's good stuff. You got to read the chapter. How about that? Let's go to verse 7. Last one, given. This is a verse about giving. Verse 7. He's telling his boy how to work. He's telling his boy how to be a success. But it's never about being a success. It's never about getting for me. It's about getting so I can give. Read the verse 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet has nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. It's a good story. Good verse. Good proverb. Possibly you think that giving will cause you to lose money and get behind financially, but that's not what this proverb says. Real riches are not having money, but using money. I don't know if you get that one. But real riches is not having money, it's using money. Money's a tool, that's all it is. All it is a tool. So it's not about having it, it's not about hoarding it, it's about using it. You can get money in the bank, and you can get money and have it in the bank, but still be very poor. That's what it says here. Because some people got a whole lot of money, and they're very poor. Some people got a whole lot of money, and they're very poor. Verse 8 is the verse that kind of goes along with that. The ransom of a man's life are his riches. See, money causes you risk. You got money, somebody's going to kidnap you. So they can get money off of you. But the poor guy, he don't even have to worry about it. Ain't nobody going to say a word to him. Who wants to kill? Who's going to? In Peru, it was always really funny. In Peru, the more you got, the scarier you got to live. Because they're coming. They're coming to your house. They're going to steal your stuff. And they better have, man, in the poor neighborhood, they got a little chihuahua, and they keep her door locked. In the rich neighborhood, we got electric fence. We got alarm system. We got a dog, and we got bars on the windows. And I had a big chain that I could use to whoop them with if I had to. The more you got, the more you got, the more you're setting yourself to. Man, read these Proverbs. Man, there's so great stuff in there. Read the Proverbs. Apply them to your life. I believe they'll make a big difference in our lives. Father, I love you. I thank you for the chance to talk to your men. Thank you for this wonderful church. And I just pray, God, that you would draw us closer to you and strengthen us and use us for your honor. God, help us to be men that lead our homes. Help us to be men that train our children. Help us to be men that help other younger men as they grow. Help us to share the wisdom, the word of God that you've given us with others. And I'll give you praise for all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys very much.
This message was recorded at Vision Baptist Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. For more information, log on to www.visionbaptist.com, where you can find our service times, location, contact information, and more audio and video recordings.